They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Santana.
All right, couple of things. Housekeeping items here.
Yep.
Kaufman texted me.
Who?
Adam Kaufman, affectionately known as White Bread.
Oh, White Bread.
He claims that you can do a Monday Night Only lineup in DraftKings.
Thanks for listening.
I just found that you can do it
for DraftKings, right?
Yeah, so. He does. If you do it in the...
Well, he would know.
Those lineups where you just fill out like the five or six flex players, you can do it because I see it available for tonight. I don't see it available yet for Monday, so they might not have put it in yet. So there has got to be a way you can do it. So there is a way. And you know what? Now that Jim has mentioned this idea, I think we need to do it. I think I need to do it for Monday. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. You can, if you dig around in there in DraftKings, you can find it. It'll be available. There's that. Number two, we yesterday said Edelman was going to join us on the show at 11 a.m.
Yep,
it's 11:05, and there's no Julian Edelman.
Well, I had to confirm yesterday through his people. He reached out, wanted to join us.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, backed out. Makes us look bad for promoting it.
He does.
That pisses me off.
I'm gonna just guess. I'm going to take a wild guess here that he's more hurt than anyone's letting on, and that's why he's not going to do the interview.
Well, the problem is then you hear it from you know who.
Hurt players are not supposed to talk.
That's an excellent point.
Ever. They're just not. That's sort of a thing. If you're hurt, you don't speak. Don't do anything. Don't talk to anybody if you're hurt. And all of a sudden, for reasons unknown to us, I'm not kidding. We have no idea why, but now the interview's not happening.
Correct.
We're going to have him on. He's opening, he's doing one of these pop-up shops with his, you know, his goods could've somewhere.
Could have promoted the squirrel book.
He was like, I want to come on. I want to do this. Can you have me on? Yeah, of course. And then all of a sudden, it's a no-go.
I'm going to actually talk about Frank with him.
Love Frank.
Yep.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, that's not happening. I'm going to guess it's because he's hurt. That's my guess. I have no idea. I'm just trying to piece it together because what other reason would there to be to cancel?
Maybe it's me.
No, he didn't know you were going to be here.
Okay. Might have heard the tease.
No, I don't think that was it at all. I really don't think that factored into him.
Okay.
I mean, you can try and give yourself that credit.
No, I just...
Maybe he follows you on Twitter and saw the show rundown that you posted earlier.
Back to the DraftKings, it's called the Showdown Contest. Thank you, Kaufman. Look for the Showdown Contest on DraftKings. So no Edelman. Edelman said no all of a sudden, so he canceled on us because I think he's hurt. So there's that. I was out on Tuesday. Dan, you watched the show, and you've got complaints about the show.
No show. So I thought those guys soldiered on.
Why don't you air these complaints publicly instead of behind the scenes? Come on the show and give your gripes.
Maybe Edelman heard Tuesday's show and said, I'm not going on that crap show.
That show blows.
Yeah.
I thought
on the
Hardy,
Scott and Rob Coffee
number
Shop
one
show.
Rated midday show.
Tell them what you think the problem is.
They soldiered on nicely. It looked like they were in a broom closet. They were
It was a broom closet. You said the show sucked. Didn't you not? Isn't that what you said?
Words to that effect, yes. I mean, again, it was not their fault. There was nothing.
God, it stunk so bad.
To work with,
stunk so bad.
So what's the issue? Why did the show suck? Though
just looked awkward. These two.
That doesn't mean the show sucked.
Two large men in this confined space with nothing to talk about. It looked awkward.
Well, you watch.
You know,
he's backtracking.
I had it on a little bit. No, I was complimenting both of you.
Oh, thank you
for soldiering on through.
Well, I thought you were pitching it by saying your show sucked on Tuesday.
You know, it just looked like a lot to deal with. Hardy, I don't know why you're taking that so hard.
It's like someone saying to you, it's like, God, that column the other day sucked. I know you couldn't do anything about it other than maybe write better or, you know, just have it, like, more readable. But why say something like that to somebody? What you did for 4 hours the other day was really, really bad.
It looked hard.
It wasn't. It was fine.
Yeah. It just looked like a tall order, you know. Like, maybe it was the visual part.
And I've never been described as a large man either before.
You better bring it today.
Zoe is tall, but it's like...
Zoe's a giant among men. Yes, it's true. It just looked like a small space. You were too close together.
Not my fault. Playing the camera people.
Yeah.
Or the camera that they had. Some camera, yeah. And he's like, move that way. Move over that way. Yeah. It's like, hey.
Sorry, Hardy. I, you know,
hey, Hardy, how's your breath?
It's, you know, I love you.
How's your breath, Hardy?
I very speak highly of all your work, always.
Thank you, you know, so much.
Yeah, except for today when you came in and said the show sucked.
Yeah, except for Tuesday's show, which was unwatchable, unlistenable, bad, bad, bad.
I thought you guys did a great job with what you had to work with.
That's a great graphic up there. You see that?
I can't see. Tuesday, no good. Tuesday was no good. All right. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, I think we can begin. I do want to get to some Red Sox items, which we will do coming up. But your latest column is on the Celtics.
Yes.
You don't think the Celtics are getting enough heat?
Well, I just thought any other team would have been more, you know, up against the wall with the way things are going. It's just, and Beadle, I think you would agree. Just year in and year out, routinely, they have a softer landing spot than everybody else around here.
Always.
It's true. And I'm thinking, well, this is the first time they're underachieving, and they're not living up to expectations. They have a 1-4 trip. They fall behind by 20 points in 3 straight games, you know, and it's not like they're playing the iron. I know the schedule is supposedly tough, but I just thought anybody else would be getting crushed. I mean, the Patriots are 7-3. We're all over them.
Well, we had a call today that said, say, Kyrie, shut up or get the hell out. And get. We want people that are green teamers. We want players that are green guys.
Yeah, we want guys that really just bleed the green.
Yeah, bleed green, but get rid of Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the stuff like him, you know, I liked what he said. We're not as good as we think we are. But then the thing about asking for the 14, 15-year veteran was kind of odd.
You think?
You know, like, I'm thinking, well, you know, P.J. Brown's not walking through that door. You know, it's like, who are you talking about here? You want Chief to come back? It was like...
Dan, this is what the Celtics always are.
Yeah.
When the team has something bad going on, the fans don't say anything about it.
No, I mean...
They don't. That's not how they want to exist as fans. It's fine. I mean, it's just different from maybe every other fan base in town.
Well, Brad and Danny can do no wrong. They have ultimate freedom, and they work within that. And the owners... We never hooted the owners of the Celtics. I mean, all the other owners in town get tweaked. I mean, the Jake was, like, historically for being cheap.
What do the owners have to do with this, though?
I'm just saying that the team in general...
What are we saying about Wick?
Doesn't... There's never any, like... You know, it kind of gets me off my game. There's no negativity around that team. You know, it's always... Everything's great. And the fans don't apply the same standards. Like, the Red Sox, right? Like, they just raised ticket prices. There'll be some blowback on that. I mean, they did it. They do it smartly now. They don't do it for the news dump on Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock and the whole thing. They do it, but they do it on the day that Mookie Betts is going to be MVP, and they just won the World Series. It's a well-timed ticket raise. But they'll still get some pushback on that, and it gets higher and higher. But the Celtics, no one complains about anything.
And that's not new, though.
I know.
I'm just saying it's not new.
I just used it as a lead into the column because
Dan, in order to get Celtics fans really angry, it had to be like Rick Pitino completely destroying everything.
That was it.
Like that's what it took.
It did.
That you had to hit rock bottom.
It was.
To get people upset about what happened with the Celtics.
And I mean, again, with all they've won one championship in 32 years, which is not great, but there's no one's impatient about them ever. No, it's
which is different than the other three.
And there's a notion
teams
that they're going to win another.
It's different from a team perspective. They have it easier than anybody.
Oh my god,
they have it easier than anybody because their fans show up. Their fans bang the place out every game.
It's like a college.
Even in years where they're not great.
It's like a college environment. You know,
they fill up the building. They cheer loudly. They love the team, and then they never bitch.
Yeah, and like
it's like perfect for the team.
And then, like they'll have these disappointing playoff losses where they get behind by like 30, and then they'll rally and close it to like 11, and the crowd will be going crazy in their favor.
All right, so I just wanted to touch on that because we did start the show today talking about the Celtics and talking about Kyrie Irving and his comments that he sort of discussed again last night, and then what's going on with him and Marcus Smart because Marcus Smart ripped the team after the loss in Portland.
Yeah.
But Kyrie doesn't consider him one of the leaders because when he named all those guys that he named last night, Marcus Smart was not one of them.
Yeah, he was talking about the people who've been in the league a long time.
Yeah.
And Smart doesn't really...
Yeah, the guys who have been in the league like 7 years instead of 5 years.
Right. And
because that's such a big difference, 7 versus 5.
But I think that people who are... that Smart is a leader of that team, and you know, and you like that. You know, he's always on the floor at the end of the game. He's like, brings the football mentality to it. And now he's got the contract to go with that. People like him.
All right, let's talk a little Red Sox because I've got an issue with some people over the last couple of days as it relates to Alex Cora. And I'm happy to see that Alex Cora got a contract extension. I get some thoughts on both of these items. Mm-hmm. Alex Cora, not manager of the year. Alex Cora with a new contract. We discuss both next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Alex Cora came in second in American League Manager of the Year honors.
I was outraged.
And Dan claims he's outraged. You're outraged?
I'm just teasing you because I have a feeling I know where you're going on this. I thought too much was made of Alex Cora, and I've never seen so much emotion on Manager of the Year. I was in the, what do we call this, Comcast Studios now? Is it MSNBC?
No. I don't know.
No, NBC Sports Boston.
Whatever.
I still station you're on right now.
Do you take a check? Do you take a check from them?
I still call them Comcast.
Yeah, we all do.
Can't get that out of my head. Anyway, I was up there on Tuesday, and when the National League thing came out, you know, the guy, the Atlanta guy, got it. Name I can't pronounce. Whatever. Like Trenny was like went violent. I've never seen anyone react to Manager of the Year with have so much emotion. Because Craig Counsell,
you got to provide hot content.
Didn't get his due, and she was taking names and just really really angry about how the wrongs done to Craig Counsell. And then of course, I mean, the Manager of the Year. I thought it was going to be Cash Beadle. I did. I would have voted for Cash. And I mean, Alex Cora took a team from first to first. With the highest payroll in baseball.
I don't know. Dan, Bob Melvin did a lot with a little.
He did.
In Oakland.
I know. I just always feel like there's a little bit too much.
Cash not finishing second, though, is stunning.
Of course it is. He had nothing.
We mentioned it in passing here, and I said, we mentioned it at the end of the regular season. And I said, it'll be Melvin or Cash. One of those two guys will win it. Not like even bothering to pick one who we thought should win it.
Right.
Never even thought that would be a conversation.
No.
And that Alex Cora was not going to get Manager of the Year. And he finished second, which he should be thrilled about.
Absolutely.
To finish second in that voting. There is a tweet that sort of, it was my breaking point on this.
Okay.
It was from 2 days ago at 4:12 in the afternoon from a guy who's currently employed by the Red Sox, but he is new to that role still. And that'd be Gordon Eads.
Oh, Gordo?
Yeah. Who I'm a big fan of. Always liked his work.
I love Gordo.
And so I look at him as someone that really sort of gets it.
Yeah,
you know?
She gets the business.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. He was a voter at a time. I mean, this guy, that's a guy who gets it. He had this tweet, and I don't know, for some reason, this is where I'm like, that's it. I've had enough of this. He said, I know I'll be accused of being a homer, but I am shocked that Alex Cora was not voted AL manager. Shocked? You were shocked that he didn't win it?
Yeah.
Like, come
Dan,
on,
Dan,
Gordon.
What's wrong with these people?
You know how this award goes. What do you mean you're shocked that he didn't win?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think the voters overthink these things, with all due respect to Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
What?
That's like saying a Tom Brady loaded team that wins the Super Bowl.
No, the griping
Bill
about
Belichick
Alex Cora
should be the coach of the year.
Is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's like we've all lost sight. I mean, not me. I'm not including myself in this, or you, Dan Shaughnessy, or you. But like we collectively as Boston have lost sight of what's important. What are you bitching about that he didn't win Manager of the Year? Who cares?
You know who cares about awards?
That's a loser's award.
You're exactly
right.
That's
for the Tampa Bay Rays. That's for the Oakland Athletics. That's for the Minnesota Twins.
That's
Paul Molitor getting it and then getting fired the next year.
He did win.
Like, that's what Ron Gardenhire. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Maybe you just don't know. Maybe you just don't know anything because you're just started watching baseball, which would be hard to believe. Or you never really followed who wins this award. This is an award for losers. This is an award that you give to the teams that you're like, hey,
overachieved.
Nice job, hey, Oakland.
Right. You did it.
Hey, guess what? You got to the play. You didn't win squad again because you people believe in like
congratulations with your low payroll.
It's all just a crapshoot.
Yeah. You had a underachieved. You made a team. You took a bunch of misfits with a low payroll and you overachieved. That's what that award is.
Yep.
That's what you get it for.
I mean, this is like
this guy was handed the most, the highest payroll. Sorry, highest payroll. They were basically in the mix for the last 3 years, even though they lose in the playoffs. You're a talented roster, and it's handed to you. And you just won the World Series last
year.
Highest
payroll going. It's like putting two guys on a racetrack, one driving a Ferrari and the other one in a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, don't crash
and the guy in the Corolla finishes two lengths back, and you're like, damn, wow, what a race for this guy. We're not giving the award to the guy in the Ferrari. Like, what are we doing? No, that's not who that award is for. It's for the guy that does the most with the least. That's what that award has always been about. That's what it will continue to be about. If you were somehow shocked, and then that's on you, because that's insane to be shocked by the fact that he didn't win. Of course he wasn't going to win.
And
who cares? He's got a better trophy than anybody. He won the World Series. And by the way, I don't think this is happening. All this griping about Alex Cora, had they not won the World Series, and this voting is done at the end of the regular season.
Right.
If they went into the playoffs and they didn't win in their first series, you're not talking about this today.
This 1 second.
So don't fool yourself into thinking that this is somehow factored in what they did in the playoffs. And Alex Cora was great. He deserves all the credit in the world. But that didn't factor in. They vote on it at the end of the 162.
It didn't factor into the voting. So why is it factoring into your emotional response?
Thank you. That's an eloquent way of putting that, Dan. I appreciate that. That's exactly what it is. But let's not lose sight of what is really important. The Red Sox did the important stuff.
Yep.
You don't need this. You don't need to get upset about manager of the year. Oakland can have it. That's an award for the losers. Losers. Losers.
Yeah, and I think
you're
guys,
a winner.
The last few managers of the year, they were all fired. Like Molitor, I mean,
they all end up getting canned.
All gone.
They all suck. They're all guys that are manager of the year 1 year, out of work
and
the next.
Needle, can I just, can we argue Melvin versus Cash, though, since we're doing this?
Sure, if you'd like to.
Cash, I thought they would lose 100.
Cash's management in Tampa is really insane.
Yeah.
Like, it really is.
They had nothing, and then they did this reinvention with the starters.
They didn't have starting pitchers.
They won 90 games with nothing in a division that had the Red Sox and Yankees. I mean, that's like, they competed with both of those teams all year. Even their losses were close.
Look at some of these guys that have won this award. Buck Showalter, Kirk Gibson. Like Matt Williams with the Nats. Come on. These guys all
Matt
suck
Williams.
At managing.
Oh, my God. He's one of the worst.
They just, come on. This is for bad manager. Dave Roberts won it in 2016. You want your manager winning the same type of awards that boob Dave Roberts is winning?
This year,
give me a break. You don't want that. You stay away from this award. This award is crap. This is dog poop.
Yeah.
You don't want this for your manager. Here's what he did get yesterday, a contract extension.
Yeah.
Now I'd like to call out the Red Sox for something. They were only paying this guy $800,000 this year.
It's a thing. There's no leverage, and they cheap out on the manager when they hire him. They did this to Tito when they brought him in 2004, and then the same process. They tore it up and extended him and all
that. I don't mind that.
It's like a prove me thing, but it's very weird that you're
so
making.
So that is bottom of the basement salary, though.
I understand
you're
that.
That
so
is much less than
that is
the worst
bottom
player
of
team.
The basement
but
salary
he
for an MLB
he took
manager.
It, he it took is, it, and he but, said, "Hey, you know what? I understand to what Dan just said. Yeah. And you guys just said, hey, you got Beetle. You said it. Okay, it's like a 2-car race. You got a Ferrari and a Corolla or whatever.
Yeah,
he understands what he's being handed. So just let me prove to you, I won't screw it up. I'll take this. But you know what? If we do well, you're going to pay any other end."
Yeah.
What's wrong with paying a guy the bare minimum who had never done it before?
That's what you should do.
Yes.
You have to fool what this guy was
going to give him $3 million a year. He's never managed a baseball team before.
I'm not saying $3 million a year. I'm saying that you give him something that's better than $800,000 a year.
He's responsible for so much of your high-end product. It's just a weird... It's the weird dynamic that the guy who's making the least is the guy...
Baseball's revenues are about to eclipse what, like $12 billion? Is that what it is?
I mean, that's like, it's, think about that he's the manager of Ruzne Castillo, you know, and he's making like 1/100th of what Ruzne Castillo's making. It's just a weird dynamic. And I noticed
that's
that.
That's just so cheap.
I saw Gabe Kaplan
so
was
cheap.
The only one equivalent.
Paying guys like that tells you, too, that, like, you know, we don't value the manager.
It's just a prove me position in this case. Did you notice Gabe Kaplan was down there in the same category?
Yeah.
And then his house burned down?
Yeah.
So he's actually got an issue. You know, he needs the money.
I assume
he never made anything when he was playing.
Yeah,
sure.
He also
for free all those.
Yeah,
things. Drove the bus.
House burned down.
I'm just saying that that's pretty damn cheap of the Red Sox. They're doing the right thing now by tearing it up.
Right.
But that to me, I don't care that it's basically color by numbers a manager these days, right? So much of it is dictated to you as to what you have to do. I don't care if you don't make a single managerial decision of in-game. But, like, managing the team and the guys and the roster and keeping everybody on the same page,
exhausting.
That in and of itself with 162 regular season games is worth more than the $800,000.
He has to trot out to the media, like, four times a day.
Like, there should be a minimum salary of, like, $1.5 million for MLB managers.
Really?
There should be a salary floor.
Yeah, I would be down with that.
Like, double what he got last year.
They need a union.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
It's bad.
They need that. Joe Maddon makes, what, $6 million per year, right?
Yeah. He's highly, you know, placed guy. And
vested.
You know, he had.
Vested has earned it, has won.
He had the cachet. He was ready to walk, and Theo had to, you know, sweet talk him and all that stuff like that. So he had
leverage.
Sweet
RV, man.
So what is the raise? Do we know what the raise is for Cora?
I have no idea.
Because he was scheduled to make $900,000 next year.
Yep. I'd say $3 million.
Cheap. Oh, that's so cheap. You deserve better than that. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We'll get to your calls coming up next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Zdeno Chara left at last night's Bruins 6-3 loss to the Avalanche in Colorado with what looked like a knee injury, officially listed as lower body. As the team will now stay on the road to take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow night, but not a lot of luck last night for the Bruins, right, Coach?
Well, we were actually wanting to be aggressive tonight in terms of keeping pucks alive in the offensive zone. Our team, that they're the anti-Toronto, where they don't blow the zone. They stay in their own end, so you can afford to have a good gap and not have guys behind you. So that was working out well for us. I think in the first period, we generated a lot of offense, a lot of, you know, pucks that, I mean, we could have blown them out. We had four crossbars or goalposts. So if puck luck goes our way,
puck luck
might be a different story.
No puck luck. Like I said, tomorrow night in Dallas, road trip continues. Celtics with a home win last night, 111-82. They will stay home, play the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. As Beadle and Zoe were just discussing with Dan Shaughnessy, Alex Cora agreed to terms on a new contract that includes a one-year extension through the 2021 season and a club option for 2022. Red Sox taking advantage of the goodwill bestowed on them by winning the World Series by raising ticket prices for the 2019 season an average of 2.5%.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's get to your calls. Shane is in Plimpton. He's been hanging on. What do you got for us, Shane?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah,
what's up, Shane?
Not much. Just calling in. Long-time listener, first-time caller. About the DraftKings thing you guys were talking about earlier.
Nice.
So every primetime slate, the Sunday night games, the Monday night games, and the Thursday night games, they have a showdown slate that you can do. You pick five flex players. It's the only slate on DraftKings where you can actually pick a kicker as well. And then there's one captain. He's 1.5 times the salary, but puts up 1.5 times the fantasy points.
I'm a fan. I'm going to do this. I like it.
So
Shane, good info.
Yep, no problem, guys.
All right. I like that. I'm going to do that for Monday night.
Do it tonight for practice for Monday night.
I might do it tonight for a practice run. Who would I pick as my captain, my 1.5-point player?
Sean McElroy?
Aaron Rodgers is about to bust out at some point.
Could be a good one, Jim. Pick the QB as your captain.
Yeah. Someone's laughing at his joke.
Yeah, which nobody gets except like three people
captain
here.
He's always
listening. Connor is in Charlestown. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Connor?
So, let me get this straight. So, Kyrie goes to Cleveland, plays with LeBron, wins the championship, decides he wants to come to Boston and be the leader, comes here, they face a little bit of adversity. He decides, you know, I don't want to be the leader. We want to bring in a 15-year vet. A guy like Marcus Smart, who fights his nuts off every night, comes out, speaks up, trying to take a little bit of a leadership role, and Kyrie decides, you know, he's not the guy I want to be the leader. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous how soft this kid is. It's like, you come here, it's your opportunity to step up and be the man, And now it's like you want to pick and choose who's going to be the winner. I just don't get it.
Well, maybe he's trying to answer a question after, you know, where they're slumping and something's going on here and he sees it and he's just answering a question. Maybe it's better off if he doesn't talk at all. Yeah. Just go out and play.
All right, so hold on. Connor, good call. I agree with your point. Which side of this are you on?
You think Kyrie's soft?
I think that I wouldn't use the word soft.
I think he's
what Connor's talking about,
okay,
which is you have a serve to you on a platter right now, the opportunity to take the reins, make it your team, and be a leader, and he's either tried and failed, or what I think it is that he's just taking a pass. He's declining.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
Is everybody on cruise control? I think he's trying to politely answer, like, I can only do so much.
Okay, but
It'd be nice if everybody else elevates their play.
But he had a guy who was in his room who was elevating on the leadership front after a bad loss in Portland.
Yep.
He rips the whole team, and Kyrie, minutes later, runs to the media and says, we got to get a guy in here who's a 15-year vet.
Maybe.
Because he's not accepting of whatever leadership Marcus Smart is trying to offer.
Maybe.
Or the attitude that Marcus Smart brings night in, night out. So which side are you on?
Is Kyrie right? I'm on Kyrie's side. I'm not saying he's right, but he is a planet player. You need this guy. It's his team. We just got done a week ago saying, well, even with all the struggles these Celtics have been through, we know one thing. It's freaking Kyrie's team.
No, but the whole, I want my team. I can't play under the shadow of LeBron.
Like, he's a thinker and he talks too much.
But he doesn't want to do the part that LeBron does do, whether you like it or not, which is to lead the team and be everything for your team.
So play the game off the court and on the court.
He only wants to do the on the court half.
Right. But go see the movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's a real dominating presence in that room or anywhere. I just think he's the guy, and you know, I think you might have said maybe just not talk at all. And we always want them to talk.
I didn't say don't talk.
I don't take anything he says very seriously
or take it to heart.
Hard-earned posture. He's like demanding
Dan,
this or running.
Since they started losing, I found Kyrie Irving to be the most genuine and transparent guy he's ever been here.
Yeah, he said we're not as good as everybody thinks.
And it goes back to him throwing the ball off the court, calling it a BS move.
Yeah.
It goes back to that.
That was good.
He was honest that night. I feel like he's been honest now. What player comes out and sort of is kidding about bringing in a 15-year vet and seeking leadership?
But he addressed that last night.
Why would we not take that part from him seriously? And it sounded like he doubled down last night.
No, I mean, I'm looking at what he said about it.
Did you hear his tone?
I didn't hear his tone.
All right, why don't we play it for Dan? We have the sound of Kyrie from last night, and it sounds like, yeah, he knows that the comments didn't go over that well, and he sort of wants to back down, but by the end of it, he's telling you, but he still does agree that they need the guy.
I think I was speaking in general for where we are as a team in terms of what we have in here as a group, and I was speaking to the responsibility that's put on me as well as Al, as well as Mook and Gordon to be the leaders of this team, and we're all relatively young as well. Al's the oldest out of all of us, but he's 13 years in, 12 years in. I think I was speaking just in general is obviously there's a lot of trade movement going on in the league as usual around this time, but I wasn't speaking to anyone specific. I just was speaking to maybe a vet that has been through a championship run, a few championship runs, that's able to be patient with this team as well as understand what we're going through of just figuring out the pieces and how they mesh well together.
The more I hear that, the more I think back to our caller in the first hour today who said, guys, don't you think this is a dig at Al Horford?
Yeah.
Like, we got a 13-year vet, but he's never won a championship.
You know what?
He's the oldest guy, but he's never been through the championship run.
The more and more you play and listen to it, this is more about, I think, Horford than it is about Marcus Smart.
But
I don't think he views Marcus Smart as either a threat or a leader, but he's a key piece that I need. But I'm going to talk about the other guys that need to be talked about.
Named a lot of guys, but didn't name Marcus Smart.
No.
I don't think that
Not
Mook,
that many years.
I don't think that Mook or Hayward
Maybe he thinks he's
or
little.
Horford were reaming out the team after the Portland loss. I think Marcus Smart was, and it's like Kyrie doesn't want to acknowledge it.
I think Kyrie thinks Marcus got a little crazy in him, and I don't want to.
Because that makes him look bad because Marcus Smart's years younger than him? Is that what it is? He's got fewer years in the league. It's not like Marcus Smart's a kid. He's in his fifth year now.
Yep.
It's not like he's a rookie. He's been around for a little bit. Longest tenured Celtic,
Marcus Smart. Serious, huh?
Longest tenured Celtic, well, Dan.
You're assigning more meaning to his comments than I ever would. This is a guy who said the world is flat. You know, I mean,
he might believe it as far as I know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want to admit he might have been going off half, you know what, talking the other night with the 14-year vet. So he's kind of getting back to it in his rambling statement last night.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's digging in over anything. I just think he's kind of a weird guy who's a really great player.
All right, I see some Red Sox calls waiting on Alex Cora, not winning manager of the year, and his salary. We'll get to those. More of your calls on Kyrie Irving and the Celtics situation as well. We'll mix the two together with Dan Shaughnessy as we continue next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's get to your calls. Shane is in Plimpton. He's been hanging on. What do you got for us, Shane?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, what's up, Shane?
Not much. Just calling in. Long-time listener. First-time caller. About the DraftKings thing you guys were talking about earlier.
Nice.
So every primetime slate, the Sunday night games, the Monday night games, and the Thursday night games, they have a showdown slate that you can do. You pick five flex players. It's the only slate on DraftKings where you can actually pick a kicker as well. And then there's one captain. He's 1.5 times the salary, but puts up 1.5 times the fantasy points.
I'm a fan. I'm going to do this. I like it. So Shane, good info.
Yep, no problem, guys.
All right. I like that. I'm going to do that for Monday night.
Do it tonight for practice for Monday night.
I might do it tonight for a practice run. Who would I pick as my captain, my 1.5 point player?
Sean McElroy?
Aaron Rodgers is about to bust out at some point.
Could be a good one, Jim. Pick the QB as your captain.
Yeah. Someone's laughing at his joke.
Yeah, which nobody gets except like three people captain here. He's always Connor is in Charlestown. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Connor?
So let me get this straight. So Kyrie goes to Cleveland, plays with LeBron, wins the championship, decides he wants to come to Boston and be the leader, comes here, they face a little bit of adversity. He decides, you know, I don't want to be the leader. We want to bring in a 15-year vet. A guy like Marcus Smart, who fights his nuts off every night, comes out, speaks up, trying to take a little bit of a leadership role, and Kyrie decides, you know, he's not the guy I want to be the leader. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous how soft this kid is. It's like, you come here, it's your opportunity to step up and be the man, and now it's like you want to pick and choose who's going to be the winner. I just don't get it.
Well, maybe he's trying to answer a question after, you know, where they're slumping and something's going on here, and he sees it and he's just answering a question. Maybe it's better off if he doesn't talk at all. Yeah. Just go out and play.
All right, so hold on. Connor, good call. I agree with your point. Which side of this are you on?
You think Kyrie's soft?
I think that I wouldn't use the word soft.
I get what Connor's talking about,
okay, which is you have a serve to you on a platter right now the opportunity to take the reins, make it your team, and be a leader, and he's either tried and failed, or what I think it is that he's just taking a pass. He's declining.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
Is everybody on cruise control? I think he's trying to politely answer, like, I can only do so much.
Okay, but
It'd be nice if everybody else elevates their play.
But he had a guy who was in his room who was elevating on the leadership front after a bad loss in Portland.
Yep.
He rips the whole team, and Kyrie, later, runs to the media and says, we got to get a guy in here who's a 15-year vet.
Maybe.
Because he's not accepting of whatever leadership Marcus Smart is trying to offer.
Maybe.
Or the attitude that Marcus Smart brings night in, night out. So which side are you on?
Is Kyrie right? I'm on Kyrie's side. I'm not saying he's right, but he is a planet player. You need this guy. It's his team. We just got done a week ago saying, well, even with all the struggles these Celtics have been through, we know one thing. This is freaking Kyrie's team.
No, but the whole, I want my team. I can't play under the shadow of LeBron.
Like, he's a thinker and he talks too much.
But he doesn't want to do the part that LeBron does do, whether you like it or not, which
play
is to lead the team and be everything for your team.
So play the game off the court and on the court.
He only wants to do the on the court half.
Right. But go see the movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's a real dominating presence in that room or anywhere. I just think he's the guy, and you know, I think you might have said maybe just not talk at all. And we always want them to talk. I didn't say that.
I didn't say don't talk.
I don't take anything he says very seriously
or take it to heart as any kind of hard-earned posture.
He's like demanding
Dan,
this or running.
Since they started losing, I found Kyrie Irving to be the most genuine and transparent guy he's ever been here.
Yeah, he said we're not as good as everything.
And it goes back to him throwing the ball off the court, calling it a BS move.
Yeah.
It goes back to that.
That was good.
He was honest that night. I feel like he's been honest now. What player comes out and sort of is kidding about bringing in a 15-year vet and seeking leadership?
But he addressed that last night.
Why would we not take that part from him seriously? And yeah, it sounded like he doubled down last night.
I mean, I'm looking at what he said about it. You know,
Did you hear him? Did you hear his tone?
I didn't hear his tone.
All right, why don't we play it for Dan? Okay, we have the sound of Kyrie from last night, and it sounds like, yeah, he knows that the comments didn't go over that well, and he sort of wants to back down, but by the end of it, he's telling you, but he still does agree that they need the guy.
I think I was speaking on in general for where we are as a team in terms of what we have in here as a group, and I was speaking to the responsibility that's put on me as well as Al, as well as Mook and Gordon to be the leaders of this team, and we're all relatively young as well. Al's the oldest out of all of us, but he's 13 years in, 12 years in. I think I was speaking just in general is obviously there's a lot of trade movement going on in the league as usual around this time, but I wasn't speaking to anyone specific. I just was speaking to vet that has been through a championship run, a few championship runs, that's able to be patient with this team as well as understand what we're going through, of just figuring out the pieces and how they mesh well together.
The more I hear that, the more I think back to our caller in the first hour today who said, guys, don't you think this is a dig at Al Horford? We got a 13-year vet, but he's never won a championship.
You know what?
He's the oldest guy, but he's never been through the championship run.
The more and more you play and you listen to it, this is more about, I think, Horford than it is about Marcus Smart.
But
I don't think he views Marcus Smart as either a threat or a leader, but he's a key piece that I need. But I'm going to talk about the other guys that need to be talked about.
Named a lot of guys, but didn't name Marcus Smart.
No.
I don't think that
not
Mook.
Not that many years.
I don't think that Mook or
maybe
Hayward
he thinks he's
or
little.
Horford were reaming out the team after the Portland loss. I think Marcus Smart was, and it's like Kyrie doesn't want to acknowledge it.
I think Kyrie thinks Marcus got a little crazy in him, and I don't want to.
Because that makes him look bad, because Marcus Smart's years younger than him? Is that what it is? He's got fewer years in the league. It's not like Marcus Smart's a kid. He's in his fifth year now.
Yep.
It's not like he's a rookie. He's been around for a little bit. Longest tenured Celtic,
Marcus Smart. Party going on downstairs, huh?
Longest tenured Celtic, well, Dan.
You're assigning more meaning to his comments than I ever would. This is a guy who said the world is flat. You know? I mean,
he might believe it as far as I know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want to admit he might have been going off half, you know what, talking the other night with the 14-year vet. So he's kind of getting back to it in his rambling statement last night.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's digging in over anything. I just think he's kind of a weird guy who's a really great player.
All right, I see some Red Sox calls waiting on Alex Cora, not winning manager of the year, and his salary. We'll get to those. More of your calls on Kyrie Irving and the Celtics situation as well. We'll mix the two together with Dan Shaughnessy as we continue next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Downstairs.
Kimasabe.
What's it called downstairs? A Friendsgiving?
Friendsgiving.
Does anybody work in this building? I love Friendsgiving. They invited me down to eat.
What'd you bring?
I don't know. They got pilgrims, Indians. Everybody's down there. They're having a good time down there. They got pumpkin pie. I didn't bring anything. They said, Zoe, come on down and eat. You're one of our friends. And that's what friends do. They open your door for everybody. All the friends in. We're all friends here. Beasley's fun. What's a party next week? What's we got next week? Oh, we can do like Black Friday party. Well, nobody be here.
Zach is in Nashville today.
Tuesday we could do a pre-Black Friday party called Red Friday or something.
Zach, what do you got for us today?
Hey, what's going on, Beetle? Hey, how brainwashed is the baseball community that they really care about the Manager of the Year award? You know who cares about the Manager of the Year award?
Losers.
The owners. Whoever can get the most out of their buck, spend no money on a team, and have some manager get them a decent season so they can get some fans in the seats. And that's about it.
Well, they're paying Bob Melvin $2.5 million a year. That's what he makes a season.
What's Kevin Cash
making? Which is more than three times what Alex Cora got last year. What's Kevin Cash making? You want his salary?
Yeah.
Please hold. I'll have it for you. $1 million. Kevin Cash got more money than Alex Cora last year.
and
the Rays are the like cheapest team in baseball.
Oh,
and even they paid their manager more than the Red Sox paid Alex Cora. Just to give you an idea of how cheap the Red Sox were on their managerial spot last year. Like, did you believe all the things you said about him when you brought him in? Because you sold him as the next greatest thing in baseball. Turns out he's pretty good at the job. You just didn't pay him like he was.
You had to prove it. They didn't know that.
I guess it was because they were still paying John Farrell, too. Maybe that's part of it.
A lot to invest in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you, the Red Sox, stupidly kept him around way too long. Way too long. In fact, there's an easy second guess now with the Red Sox. What would have happened, what could have happened in the previous two seasons had you had a guy in there that was communicating well, that was connecting with his young players?
They finished
that was
first, getting the most back-to-back out of seasons, rock. Beetle.
Yeah, and then what happened? They flamed out.
John Farrell's got to be the first guy to be fired at the finishing first 2 years in a row. Got to be.
Has there ever been anybody that has sided on Team Farrell?
He should have never had the opportunity to finish first. Like, that's what tells you. You had a bad manager, right? You had a bad manager when he was at the end. And you still finished first in your division in the American League East.
That's a built-in automatic
with that roster.
I don't mean to term this.
That works against Cora for Manager of the Year.
See?
But the second guess now is easy. What would this team have been? What could they have been had they had the right guy leading the team? Where's that second guess now?
I don't mean to ask this way, but I think you have to. And I don't mean this with any disrespect to John Farrell. And if he didn't get sick, do you think that the expediting of him being out of town
would have happened? Absolutely gone. Saved the job.
There you go.
Saved him in the job. Yeah. No question about it. Dombrowski, because don't forget, Dombrowski came in.
That's a tough spot for them. You can't.
That was the window right there. But
and I don't blame them for keeping him because that's a tough thing to do with a person.
Yeah. You weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Yep. It saved his job and then.
Saved
then
his ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And I'm glad he's healthy. But.
Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Peter? What's up, Zola?
What's up?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, this is why I can't stand most Red Sox fans, okay? If you want a World Series, I mean, you can win all the individual awards you want. They mean absolutely.
What fans? Crap. The fans aren't bitching. It's the writers and people that cover this team.
Well, them too. I mean, too.
You find fans bitching?
Unless you win a championship, those awards mean absolute crap. Because I bet you if you ask anybody, if the Red Sox lost the World Series, they wouldn't be going around saying, at least I was Paul won Manager of the Year. No, it doesn't work that way. You won a World Series. Be happy with that. Screw the freaking individual awards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who really cares about that?
Well, and tonight it's going to be Mookie Betts, most valuable player in the American League.
Yay.
Whoop-de-doo.
You know what? Show me the trophy with a bunch of flags on it, the circular one.
I think that, you know, MVP.
That's all you care about.
MVP in the NFL, MVP in baseball. That's like the last award that I even paid attention to. NBA, too.
Who can remember
it? I root for Brady never to be in the MVP because that means your team ain't winning it.
Little pop quiz for you guys. Who was the last Red Sox to be MVP of the American League?
Is it Mo Vaughn?
It is not. But that's a good guess, Beetle. There's one since him.
Oh, good
Say
call,
that again.
Zo,
your man.
2008,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Block me on Twitter. Yes.
2008.
Yeah, he didn't do that.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, so Pedroia in 08, so there's 10 years ago. Mo in 95, 23 years ago. Clemens in 86.
Hit dog.
Rice in 78. Fred Lynn, 75. Yes, on it goes. But, and Ted only won it twice.
Yes, he wasn't that good.
I have the only Red Sox jersey I have that is signed. The only Red Sox jersey I have assigned is Mo Vaughn, hit dog. And when I die, I'm going to will it to Billy Laney.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting it.
Mo had
Put
it going.
My will.
Mo had it going, 95.
Watch me get knocked off somebody from Malden.
So Mookie joins a pretty good group there.
Yeah, I wish Mookie had a better playoffs.
I know.
I'd trade in his MVP award to have a better playoffs. I'd do that.
He was
Jackie Bradley did. Screw your
I'm glad he hit that home run in the last late innings in Dodger Stadium. It was the first one of his career. 21st game postseason.
So with Mookie with Ortiz in the lineup going back a few years has a near MVP season. Then Mookie sort of takes a small dip.
Yep.
You put J.D. Martinez back in the lineup, and all of a sudden Mookie's an MVP candidate again. Mm. Something to think about.
Yeah.
You know?
He's better played than Bryce Harper, don't you think?
If I had to pick one, I would take Mookie Betts.
I do.
Them all
it's
run.
Weird.
Hurry up. There might not be any food left.
Bryce Harper had a weird year.
Totally.
And he's going to get paid a handsome amount of money.
Yeah.
He's already turned down $300 million from the Nationals.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was deferred, though, in fairness to him.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that detail, but that's still $300 million coming to him in his lifetime.
That's yeah, pretty good.
You know, if it's deferred. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Manny still gets paid from the Red Sox.
He's going to go to the Phillies where he can lend Gabe Kapler some of that.
Manny Ramirez is still getting paid by the Red Sox.
I love that. I mean, I don't know. Who was Manny's agent? He had those weird guys.
He had
It was tied to the Steinberg. It was Morad, right? Jeff Morad.
Yeah,
I thought it was Jeff.
I think
Morad
it was for a while.
Yes, because he went to the Rangers to run the Rangers right after that, right?
Sneaky, good memory.
That was good though, and that was good.
So remembers the most random.
Good
stuff.
Leadership on their part to not let Morad spend all his money at once.
Yes.
You know,
it was football. Yes. Manny's the guy that forgot paychecks in his glove box in Cleveland.
Yeah, glove compartment. Yeah.
Happens. Like, you got a lot of money.
Put these in the bank.
Yeah. Asking writers for loans.
Wasn't he kind of like Gronk though, where he was kind of like stupid, but he acted stupid, but he wasn't really stupid.
I don't know how much of it was an act. He was.
I think he used his.
Gronk never pooped on the floor.
He was not a complicated man.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No. Let's go to Mike in East Boston. Hi, Mike.
Intentionally.
Hey, hi guys.
Hi.
Listen, I got a quick tidbit for you.
Oh.
Edelman was on Maddie in the Morning Show today.
Whoa.
Not a sports show, though.
Correct.
He was on, so he wasn't sick.
He was.
No, we didn't say he was sick. We said that his injury is more than something minor.
No, I just wanted to let you know that he was on, and not to think that he just kind of, I don't know, maybe he did cancel out on you guys, but he was on the air this morning.
No, he did cancel on us. We know that. He canceled on us.
He will not be on any sports show, okay?
There's a difference between going on with Maddie, who I love, and going on with us.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of women in the car listening there. Not that there aren't our show. A lot of soccer moms listening.
No, but I'm saying that the line of questioning is not going to be as.
Yeah. So what do you? You wear.
It's like fun.
You wear number 11, right? You know Billy Costa. You like eating. You ever see that show, Wicked Food?
What? What are you? Are you asking
Maddie.
Me a question? What are you
Maddie,
doing?
The
I don't
Maddie
know what you're doing.
Maddie Edelman interview, and I love Maddie. What are you? You gonna shave? You gonna shave next week?
No, but Maddie'd be like, what's wrong with your team?
Yeah.
A crap loss on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll have a good laugh about it. And, you know, he'll say, we just need to get better.
Play a little grab ass, yeah. Not that we want to play grab ass with him, but I was going to enjoy that interview today. But
you probably would end up asking about some specific plays on Sunday, would you not? So,
the fourth down.
Yeah. Okay. You think Maddie's asking him to break down a fourth down play?
No, he's asking about his pop up shop,
right,
on Newbury Street.
Right. We'd get to that at the end. But then we'd ask him about the ankle directly, and, you know, you left on Sunday, and how's the ankle healing up, and are you going to be ready to go after the bye? And we'll ask a lot of football-related questions.
How are things at TV 12?
You know, over there, they're going to be asking him, like, how's you know, you got a girlfriend right now? What's the deal? You know, they do all that fun stuff. Lifestyle type of stuff. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Dan thinks it's because he's here.
No, I was just,
asking.
I always worry about that.
It has nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with
you. I'm glad it, glad it did not hurt the program.
Do you ever go on Maddie? I know Felger used to go on Maddie.
I go on all the time.
I don't think I'm a big enough star
to
be asked to go on
Maddie. Zoe ever been asked?
Yeah.
Do you do it?
I've been on with him and Billy. Yeah.
I love Maddie.
Who doesn't?
And Zoe's
who
right.
Doesn't?
It's all women who listen to that show. If you go on with Maddie, like, the rest of the day, it's like.
I think it's all the women and then plus some men.
I think there's some guys.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I like Maddie.
He's popular.
Very popular.
Newton guy.
617-779-0985.